From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the series of studies in the Book of Acts as he commences a message entitled Grace Triumphant. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 22 and verse 14. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Our blessed Lord experienced a terrible sinking and melting of soul. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Deep depression of spirit is the most grievous of all trials. All besides is as nothing. Well might the suffering Savior cry to his God, Be not far from me. For above all other seasons a man needs his God when his heart is melted within him because of heaviness. Believer, come near the cross this morning, and humbly adore the King of glory, as having once been brought far lower in mental distress and inward anguish than any one among us, and mark his fitness to become a faithful high priest who can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Especially, let those of us whose sadness springs directly from the withdrawal of a present sense of our Father's love enter into near and intimate communion with Jesus. Let us not give way to despair, since through this dark room the Master has passed before us. Our souls may sometimes long and faint, and thirst even to anguish, to behold the light of the Lord's countenance. At such times, let us stay ourselves with the sweet fact of the sympathy of our great High Priest. Our drops of sorrow may well be forgotten in the ocean of His griefs, but how high ought our love to rise! Come in, O strong and deep love of Jesus, like the sea at the flood in springtides. Cover all my powers, drown all my sins, wash out all my cares. Lift up my earthbound soul, and float it right up to my Lord's feet. And let me lie there, a poor broken shell, washed up by His love, having no virtue or value, and only venturing to whisper to Him, that if He will put His ear to me, He will hear within my heart faint echoes of the vast waves of His own love, which have brought me where it is my delight to lie, even at His feet forever.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. Knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, as I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you.
Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the progress of the expansion of the early church through Paul's second missionary journey, which took the gospel into Europe. Having been expelled from Philippi, Paul and Silas traveled to Thessalonica, to Berea, and ultimately to Athens. Opposition and persecution could not stop the advance of the gospel. No matter where he was, Paul preached Christ as he is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. This is still the pattern for preaching that brings souls to Christ and builds up God's people. Now to commence a message entitled Grace Triumphant, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now this morning we're continuing in the studies in Acts. We come to the 17th chapter. 17th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Now I need to re-emphasize what I said last Lord's Day. It's, I suppose, more applicable here in the 17th chapter than in many others, certainly this chapter and the ones to follow, that I'm only quickly going through what we have in Acts. I'm making no attempt, really, to join what we have here with the relevant portions of Paul's epistles. Now, I have to emphasize this because here we'll be dealing with Paul's ministry in Thessalonica. If time permits, I may take just a minute to refer you. If I don't take time to do it myself, at least I'll mention it to you. Passage in 1 Thessalonians. But fully to understand what we have here in the book of Acts, you need to study also the relevant epistles. And then you'll get a much fuller outlook upon what's being taught and insight into it. But I haven't time to do that. Indeed, I have only time at this stage of our studies in Acts. We have spent so long in the opening chapters, I have only time to do little more than give an outline of each chapter as we come to it. Just keep that in mind, please. Also, something else for especially young people when they're studying. Should always read the Word of God very carefully. A lot of wise characters who imagine the Bible isn't really very true and all the rest of that sort of nonsense. You'll find that the history books of the Bible are the best history ever written. They're the most exact history ever written. And even secular historians have had to pass comment that Luke, the inspired history writer of the New Testament church, is exact to the minutest detail. Little things you should look for. You'll notice in chapter 16 that Philippi was a colony, and you will see how the treatment of Paul and his friend Silas was in keeping with that. There were soldiers everywhere. You'll notice, however, when you come into chapter 17, that you have a completely different situation. Here, when he gets into trouble, there's not a soldier in sight. And this is one of the little undesigned things which just goes to show how true the history is, because Thessalonica was not a colony. It was the opposite of a colony. It was what was called a free city. And not a soldier was to be seen in a free city. In a colony, the soldiers ruled to extend the sway of Rome. In a free city, the soldiers were kept out. And it was the demos, the people, who ruled. The word that gives us our democracy. And here in chapter 17, you have the use of a word, I think, which isn't found in classical Greek, but it's found here, the politarchs. That is the politicians probably elected by the demos or the democracy, the democratic constituency. So you'll see when Paul's brought out, he's given to the voice of the people and their elected representatives. Now you look at these little things in the Bible and you'll see they don't prove the Bible to be true, for the Bible doesn't need any proof to be true. But they simply show our darkened minds how very true the Word of God is, and it stands up to the intensest and most minute scrutiny. Acts chapter 17. Now we're going to look at the entire chapter as the Lord enables us and time permits, but we're only going to read the first few verses together. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. We'll finish the reading at verse 9, and the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. I call the 17th chapter of Acts, or should I say the progress of the gospel and the ministry of Paul recorded in this chapter, Grace Triumphant. Because here we see something of the unstoppable forward movement of the early missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember that in chapter 16 we had the record of Paul and Silas being cruelly, illegally, viciously beaten in that colony of Rome. I'm sure that the rulers there were glad to see the back of Paul and of Silas, because when they heard that they were Roman citizens, they realized that if these men preferred a charge against them, then they themselves would be put to death. That was the law. So they were glad to see the back of them. And there you can see Paul and Silas, and they march along westward along one of the most famous Roman roads ever built, through the two territories of Amphipolis and Apollonia, and then they come to Thessalonica. As I've told you, a free city, one of the most thriving commercial centers of the Roman Empire, a very, very busy place. And here, Paul immediately gets to work again in the preaching of the gospel. Again, they're in trouble. And after the trouble, they go on to Berea. And again, they get to preaching the word and extending the kingdom. And again, they have to move on until we come to the latter part of the chapter and we find Paul alone in the great city of Athens, perhaps next to Rome, the most famous city on earth at that time, and certainly for every other reason other than political, the most important city in the Roman Empire at that period. And so Paul there, in this great center of learning, has his spirit stirred within him, and he starts to preach. Oh, that God's people were preachers and witnesses because their spirits were stirred within them. God save us from preachers who preach because they have learned a little out of a book, who have got a little theory, who have a little philosophy, who know how it ought to be done, but have no heart for the work. God give us preachers who are stirred in their spirit, who speak because they can do nothing else, who preach because they can do nothing else. I have often quoted to you the dictum of Spurgeon when young men came seeking an entry into the theological college, the pastor's college. Spurgeon used to ask, "Man, can you do anything else but preach? Well, if you can, go and do it." Good advice. Go and do it. My, when the word of God gets to be as it was in Jeremiah, a fire burning in your bones, then you can go and preach.
when the Word of God grips your soul, when the plight of sinners grips your soul, when the march of sin grips your soul, and you're stirred by the Holy Ghost, then go and preach. But I don't believe that people are called to preach unless the Lord has stirred them that they must preach, that they can do nothing else. Paul cried, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And so we have him in these three places witnessing, and the word of the Lord goes forward. Now, let me give you the outline of the chapter in case we don't get through it. Really, what I want to do, of course, what I want to do and what I do, if you have listened to me often enough, you'll realize are two very different things. What I want to do is quickly get through the whole outline and say a little, or more than a little, on a couple of verses near the end of the chapter. But we'll just take it as the Lord leads. I always pray that the Lord will overthrow my plans and my outlines and all the rest of it and just give me power to preach what he wants me to preach. But let me give you the outline of the chapter, and you can fill it in detail for yourself. The first nine verses tell us of Paul preaching with power in Thessalonica. Now, you'll see that very clearly. Then 10 through to 14, we have searching the Scriptures in Berea. This is one of the loveliest passages in Acts, where they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And then finally, the major part of the chapter, verse 15 through to 34, teaching the truth in Athens. And I use that heading for that section deliberately, teaching the truth, because here you have these wise men, and with all their learning, they're ignorant of the truth of God, teaching the truth in Athens. Now let's quickly come to the opening part and see the preaching with power in Thessalonica. Now, quickly, let's notice verse 2 for a start and see the basis of Paul's preaching. Watch very carefully. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. I want you to see that very clearly. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. What was the basis of Paul's preaching? His basis for preaching was the Word of God. Remember what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? He said, and this is, I think, in the New Testament, the nearest thing to a formal definition of the gospel. I suppose 1 Timothy 3:16 is the only other passage where you have formally set forth the fundamentals of the faith. So here's a definition of the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The basis of apostolic preaching was the Scriptures. And let me just say something more. We'll come to this more fully in a moment. But it was the teaching of the Scriptures, especially as regarding Jesus Christ. Because you will notice not only is the Scripture the basis of the preaching, but the burden of the preaching, verse 3, is Christ, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Notice then the burden is Christ. I think that today there are far too many preachers who have this little notion and the other little notion, and they search the Bible from cover to find some scripture pretext for preaching that notion. And all the time they are missing the great central truth of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to think of that. You know, there are more Christians searching their Old Testaments to see what the Holy Ghost has said about the future of communist Russia than there are searching their Old Testament to see what the Holy Ghost has said about Christ. And just let me say in passing, it is a matter of great controversy whether the Holy Ghost has ever said anything about communist Russia.
Now, he may have, but you've got to infer certain things. And the Holy Ghost has not stated them. But the Holy Ghost has said many things about Jesus Christ. And here Paul gets to preaching. And he gets to preaching about the promise of Christ. That opens up the Old Testament. He gets to preaching of the passion of Christ that leads them to the cross. He gets to preach about the proving of Christ in the resurrection from the dead, proving him to be God, the Son manifested in the flesh. That's the basis and the burden of apostolic preaching. My friend, it is more and more the burden of my heart that God will raise up a race of preachers in this United States of America who will go across this vast country preaching Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.